Psalm 95. Once you found your place, I know you just sat down, but you're too comfortable. So let's stand one more time out of love and respect for this book. And let's read this psalm together, and then I'll have a word of prayer. Psalm 95, well, I'll read it. You just follow along there if you would. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God. Isn't that an understatement?
Amen.
And a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And it's not square, by the way. It's round.
That's right.
I don't know what all that is all about, but let's keep moving on here. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Think about that when you're grieving. Well, 40 years, God, you know, I think God has probably been grieving ever since Adam took that bite of fruit. I have to believe that. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it's a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray for your help tonight. I just want to be a blessing, Lord, to your people. Thank you, God, for this book that you've given us. I pray, Father, now your Holy Spirit would fill me and use me, Lord. I pray, Father, for an attentive ear, an open heart, and that everyone here, Lord God, would be able to indeed hear what your Spirit has to say to our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You may be seated. It's always a blessing to me. It's always a blessing to me to read the Bible, period, you know. Yeah. But you know as well as I do, just be real, that sometimes when you read the Bible, passages that you've read before, and you see something that you hadn't seen before, right. And it's just a special blessing from God, I believe. It's a special kiss from the Lord. He just says, here, I want to show you something here. You know, you spend time, and of course, as a preacher, this book is your life, but you spend time reading. You do too, I hope. You spend time studying, you spend time reading, you spend time preparing for Sunday school lessons, you spend time preparing for soul winning, you spend time reading the Bible. Wow. It is the bread of life. It is our bread. Yep. It is our living water. And you know, these psalms are very much a part of many Christians' lives because they're easy reading, so to speak. You can go to the Psalms a lot of times when you're having a hard time. There's a lot of good comforting psalms in the book of Psalms, and a lot of their songs of praise and different things like that. But this, I have to admit, in this particular psalm, God just opened it up to me a little bit recently, and I wanted to just share it with you, if that's okay. And just kind of help it, hope it will help you as it did me. Allow me to see some things, and allow us to see some things that we maybe hadn't seen before. let me just give you a little bit of a teaching. I know you're not in the Bible Institute, but when you read the Bible and there's something there that you maybe don't understand, or maybe there's something there that that you know is there but you can't quite uncover it. It's kind of a little bit hidden, but you know it's there. What you need to do first of all is just keep reading it. Okay, just go back and read it again. Go back and read it again, and go back and read. And I don't care. You know, 10, 12, it doesn't matter. Just read it again and again and again. And then, though, what you need to do, instead of grabbing a commentary, which is okay, but you never know where the commentary is coming from as far as what that man believes. You never know. And like I told you, the Institute students the other day, what a commentary tells you is just what God told him. That doesn't mean that that's all that's in there.
Right.
Okay? So it's okay to take a commentary, but what I would rather you do, and what I think is a more effective way of finding out what God's trying to tell you, because when you're reading something and you're going through it, and God's trying to tell you something, but you can't quite decipher, it's kind of like when you talk underwater, you know? Right. You know he's trying to say something, but you just can't quite. Well, God's trying to say something to you.
Yeah.
He's not trying to say something to you through a commentator.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. He's trying to say something to you.
Yeah.
And so, pray.
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
I mean, find a place, a quiet place, and just fill your mind with the scripture first, and then pray about it. Ask God. Very specifically, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What? Because I don't want to. I mean, listen, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to let it go by. I mean, that is a precious, precious time where God is actively and personally getting involved in your life on purpose. It's not an accident. So, and that's what I want you to do when you read your Bibles. And that's what I did with this. And boy, God just began to open things, this whole psalm up to me. And it may not be anything special to you, but it was to me. And I'm just going to share it with you. What I see here in Psalm 95, and the title of the message is this. This is an invitation to a celebration.
Amen.
This is an invitation to a celebration. I want you to notice here, this is God's holy word, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, the Holy Ghost, God's very spirit, is inviting us to a celebration. Now that, I don't know, right off the bat, that just kind of makes me feel, that's exciting. Can you, I mean, that's kind of like God saying, hey, come on over here. There's a celebration going on, and I want you to be a part of it. I want you to notice it says, oh, come. It's a very heartfelt, it's a very sincere invitation. Oh, come. And he says it again over there in verse 6. Oh, come. It's like the master who sent out the servant and said, listen, everything is prepared. The table's ready. The spread is here. The food is here. Now go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. God does invite his people to a celebration. It's nothing new, but I'm going to show you some things here tonight that I think might be a blessing to you. God himself is at this celebration.
Amen.
Look what it says in verse 2. Let us come before his presence. This is the Holy Spirit telling us we need to get before the presence of God, Amen. The presence of the Father. This is an invitation by the servant, the Holy Spirit, going out, remember, getting and bringing in people into the presence of God. So this is a Holy Spirit invitation into the very presence of God our Father. And notice, there's singing going on.
Yeah.
Isn't that a blessing? There's singing going on. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. There's singing going on. Hey, listen, I believe when he says a joyful noise, I know those of you who can't sing, you use that as a reason to keep opening your mouth and singing, and I want you to, but I believe that also might mean some other, like some shouting hallelujahs.
Amen.
Amen. Some amens right about there. Some praise God. Some joyful noises that maybe aren't exactly... Yeah. Written to song, but it's a joyful noise, singing, shouting, hallelujah, amen, glory, 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 Lord God, holy, holy. I mean, just shouting, singing. Can you see it? Can you? Are you entering in there with me yet? It's an invitation to a celebration.
Amen.
I believe what God's trying to do really is give us a little glimpse, if you will, into heaven's portals. Give us a little glimpse into heaven. Now, this is obviously God's word, and there's a lot of other things here, but he's given this to us here on earth.
Right.
So, obviously, we know that we can, listen now, don't miss this, church. This is important. We can be in the very presence of God while we're right here on earth. Now, I know he's in our hearts. Don't get me wrong. I know that.
Right.
But there are many days, days go by that we are not even aware of his presence. Come on, are you with me? Are you? Of course you are. There are days that go by where we're not even aware of his presence. And I believe this invitation to this celebration is a standing invitation for any day of the week, for any child of God, for anyone who will come. He says, oh, come. It's like it's almost like you can hear the tone of his voice where he's saying, what is wrong with you? Come on. What is wrong? Oh, I mean, he's begging you. Oh, come into the presence of God. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. I tell you what, a song service in heaven is going to blow your mind. It's going to blow my mind.
Yeah, you might.
I don't know what it's going to sound like, but I know it's going to be loud. It's going to be everybody's going to be on key. But there's going to be one theme, amen, and that's going to be Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Glory, glory. Hey, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, amen. I tell you what, this is an invitation to a celebration, and I'm just going to try to encourage you a little bit tonight, and then we'll go to the house. But notice, look, number one, it's an invitation to celebrate our salvation. Amen. Look in verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. There he is. There's the Lamb.
Yep. Yeah.
The rock of our salvation. That is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, our salvation is only worth celebrating because of the rock.
Yeah.
Our salvation is only worth getting excited about because of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Listen, he is the rock of our salvation, and he's the reason we're saved, and he's the only, listen, we wouldn't have much to celebrate about if we were the rock of our salvation.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
That would be like trying to celebrate when you're going under, when you're drowning, when you know that you're dead and you have no hope. But we are not the rock of our salvation, amen. But we can go into the presence, into this celebration, and join this celebration as we celebrate, number one, of course, our salvation. By the way, if you don't have that, there is no celebration. I mean, obviously, it's got to start there, dearly beloved. It's got to start right there at the rock of our salvation. He is the door into the celebration. You may be able to hear some singing from the outside. What's that noise? It sounds like, I mean, we were driving to church tonight and sitting at a stoplight, and it sounded like a piano was playing somewhere, and we couldn't tell where it was coming from. I rolled the window down, and it was coming from a car or something down, two, three cars, but you know, you can hear something, but we weren't in the presence of it. You've got to come to this place of the rock of your salvation. You got to understand he's the rock. Our salvation is built upon him. It never changes. He is the solid rock. Amen. And that's worth celebrating for the rest of our lives. We have a rock that cannot be moved.
Amen.
We have a rock that can never be broken. We have a rock that can never... Listen, a lot of people are broken on that rock, but that rock never breaks. That rock is solid, sure, steadfast, foundation for our salvation. This is an invitation, listen, to celebrate your salvation. And let me ask you, when's the last time you just stopped and celebrated your salvation? Did you do it today? Don't say amen. Did you really just stop and celebrate your salvation? And I mean, this is our memory verse for the month of November. I know November's almost over, but did you, I mean, I know we're busy. We're busy. We should. And I think that's probably why he says, come. Come on. You're so busy, you're forgetting the real reason for Christmas. The real reason for any celebration that's really a celebration is the rock of your salvation. When's the last time you really stopped and just celebrated? Not only do we have eternal salvation from all sin, but it's built and is established on this precious rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an invitation to celebrate our salvation. Number two, this is also an invitation to exaltation, rightful exaltation. And what that means, look in verse 3, the Lord is a great God.
Amen.
Amen.
And a great king above all gods. Notice in verse 7, for he is our God.
Amen.
That makes it even, that sweetens the pot even more, dearly beloved. What he's saying is, look, what you need to do is you need to stop for a minute and you need to come on in here to this celebration of your salvation. And when you do that, you're going to realize that there's only one worthy of being exalted above all other gods, above all other kings. And he's not just any God. He's not just any king. He's your God.
That's right.
He's our God.
Amen.
Amen. See, and so he many times we forget to exalt him to his rightful place. We don't exalt him to where he belongs in our lives, in our homes, in our hearts. Listen to me, brethren. What God's trying to help us to see tonight is that when we get our salvation to the place where it's exciting again, where we celebrating, where we're celebrating it again, we will exalt God to his rightful place where he belongs, because it was his idea.
Amen.
It's God's plan of salvation. God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, because God gave the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And God needs to be exalted. He's not just any God, amen, any king, but this is our great God and our great King. This celebration of our salvation will always result in this great God being exalted.
Amen.
You know, there's lots of psalms that talk about God's greatness and lots of psalms that talk about God's goodness and his power, but we never ought to let it get old.
Amen.
That's right.
I think it does, though. Come on now. I'm just being honest with you. And I see God here pleading with his own children. Come on. There's a celebration in here. You need to get back to remembering who's really in charge anyway and exalt him to his rightful place. We have salvation to celebrate, amen. We need to celebrate his and get him to rightfully exalted to his rightful place in our lives where he is preeminent. And I want you to notice number three. This is an invitation to illumination. Illumination. Look in verse 4. It says, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. As we celebrate the rock of our salvation tonight, as we exalt our great God where he belongs, I believe what God's trying to tell us is that then he will begin to illuminate our minds that we can better see and we can be reminded that when our lives are in those deepest valleys, we're still in his hand.
Amen.
Amen.
We're still in his hand. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. In his hand are the valleys that you are going through.
That's right.
In his hand is where you feel like nobody else even loves you anymore. But according to this scripture and many others, and what we got to remember is that we're still in his hand.
Amen.
The deepest places. I'm not talking about, you know, the little problems.
Yeah, right.
The deepest places of the earth are in his hand.
Amen.
That, see, but here, listen, don't forget now that God's working this in order, by the way. God's a perfect God of order.
Amen.
If we learn to celebrate our salvation, then God is rightfully exalted to his right. And then we begin to remember we're illuminated by his grace and his spirit, that no matter what's going on, where we're at, he is our strength.
Amen.
Look what it says. Yep. The deepest places are in his hand, and the strength of the hills is his also.
Amen. Yep.
See, I think what God's trying to tell us is if that his people would spend more time celebrating their salvation and their great God exalted, we would be more illuminated as to our own circumstances. We would be more aware of the fact that God has still got us in the palm of his hand. And we would be also better understand that the strength we need to keep going through that deep place is also in his hand.
Amen.
It's in God's hand.
Amen. Preach it.
Amen.
That's right.
But see, most times when we're in those deep places, we're not celebrating.
That's right. Amen.
And I think that's why God's begging, come on. Oh, come.
Yes.
Come here. See, we lose sight of the source of our strength.
Yep.
We lose sight of His hand, don't we? Come on, let's just be honest.
Yep.
We lose sight of His hand. We forget about the fact that He's there because we forgot to celebrate our salvation. Because, dearly beloved, listen, you don't lose that no matter how deep a valley gets.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm glad I have the truth to that eternal doctrine of salvation.
Amen.
But see, God needs to be exalted. God needs to be lifted up so we can celebrate that salvation. And then our minds will be illuminated. We'll be reminded who our strength is. And because look, it's in those deep places.
Yep.
It's in those deep valleys where most of God's people quit.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right there. They don't quit on the mountaintops.
Yep.
People don't give up on God when everything is wonderful.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, that's usually when we celebrate our salvation. That's usually when we exalt God, is when everything is soaring like an eagle.
Yep.
But once in a while, we have to get down here and root around with the hogs and the turkeys because that's what God decides to do.
Yep.
Now we don't celebrate there, do we?
Yeah. Right. Come on. That's right. Yep.
And we don't think about exalting God in those deep places.
Right.
But maybe I think what God's trying to tell us is if we'd learn to do that, then we would be reminded, hey, He knows what's going on.
That's right.
He knows what's going on.
Sure. Amen.
And He's the strength. If I go somewhere else, I won't have any strength.
That's right. Yep.
I won't have any access to that strength. If I go jumping out of His hand trying to make it on my own, I won't have any strength because He is the strength too, even in those deep, especially in those deep places.
That's right.
I think Jesus is reminding us. I think the Holy Spirit is reminding us. I think God is trying to remind us. He wants to illuminate us. It's an invitation, don't forget now, to a celebration. Now, listen, I know we've got burdens. I know we've got valleys. I know we've got unanswered prayers and unanswered questions and uncertain tomorrows. I know that.
Oh, yep, that's right.
But I think that's why God said, look, you need to just stop and come into this celebration and let's be reminded of who I am and who you are in Christ and who our rock is and even in the deep places.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
He's still our strength, especially in the deep places. This is also an invitation to greater admiration. Look in verse 5. The sea is His. As if we, but sometimes God's so plain, we don't need another version of the Bible to figure that out. The sea is His, and He made it. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
All one syllable words. We don't need another version, do we? The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. That's our God.
Amen. Yeah.
And I think God says, well, I want you to come in here and celebrate with me. I want you to come in here and be reminded of your great salvation. I want you to be reminded that I should be exalted in your life. I want you to be illuminated the fact that I'm still here. And then I want you to just get back to admiring who He is.
Amen. Amen.
Admiring who God is.
That's right.
We forget how big God is.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I mean, look, let me read you some stats here. The oceans, all the oceans of our planet, cover 141,600,000 square miles.
Yeah.
It's all His.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
It's all His.
Yep.
He made it all.
That's right.
141,600,000 square miles. 72% of the earth's surface is what this verse is talking. Why do you think He chose to use the sea? Not to mention the dry land. That's the other, 28%.
Yep.
Hey, listen to me.
Amen.
But listen, we don't think, you know, the deepest part of the ocean floor is 36,200 feet deep. That's almost 7 miles straight down. Wait a minute now. There are sea creatures.
Yeah.
All the way down there.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Now, hey, God made them.
That's right. Right.
Amen.
God put them there. And God sustains them every single day.
Yeah. Amen. Yep. That's right.
I mean, sometimes we just need to stop and admire God.
Amen.
That's why, when God was putting this together, I didn't put this together, when it's all laid out there in the Bible, but when God put this together in my heart, I just began to weep, and then I started laughing, then I started crying, then I started rejoicing. I had a little fit.
Amen.
I had a big fit. Because I just realized I was reminded, but I should. It should never get old. It should. I should never forget that, but I do, and so do you.
That's right.
How big God really is.
Amen.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art.
Man, think Amen.
About, Amen. We Thank sing you. That, but think about how great, how big, how mighty, how enormous. I mean, the words don't even they fail us, don't they? That's our God. That's our God. That's our God.
Amen.
And we need to come into this celebration and get back to admiring Him.
Amen.
Just admiring how huge and almighty and powerful He is. Wow. And I'm telling you what, it's also an invitation to real adoration.
Amen.
Look in verse 6 now. God's brought us a long way here. We're celebrating salvation. We're exalting God. We're better illuminated in our valleys, and we begin to admire God again. But notice what all this is bringing about in verse 6, dearly beloved. Oh, come. There it is again. Let us worship. Notice, and bow down.
Yes. Yes.
Let us kneel.
Yes.
Amen.
Say, do you have to pray? Kneel when you pray? No. You don't have to kneel when you pray. You can pray without ceasing always. But if you're going to worship, if you're going to worship, really worship in prayer, if you're really going to, bowing down and kneeling, it's not something that the Muslims came up with.
Right.
Are you listening? It's not something they came up with. It's our King James Bible. It's our great God that deserves real worship. And when we remember how great Thou art.
Yes, amen.
Listen, it's got to bring us to a place of real worship. See, real worship is not a bunch of half-naked, carnal people on some stage with flashing lights and rock music and calling it a church service. That's not what I'm talking about. That's wicked. That's not worship. This is worship.
Yes, amen.
This is worship. Let us now see. You see how God brought us to this place?
Yes, amen.
Salvation, exaltation, illumination, admiration. He says, okay, now look. Now, I'm inviting you to real adoration.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. If you were to go into the rock and roll churches today and see what they call worship, you would think God was a headbanger.
Right.
You don't admire God for that reason. You don't think of God this way when you go into that mess. And when you see people who call themselves Christians and who call themselves whatever church members and they say they're worshiping God and they've got cigarettes hanging out of their mouth.
Right.
You would think God was some kind of a drug dealer.
Right. Wrong. Preach.
Some kind of alcoholic selling a six-pack. So, listen, but this right here brings us to real adoration.
Right. Yes, amen.
That's right.
Because they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
It takes both.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
The right spirit, which is humility, and the right truth, which is sound doctrine.
Yep. Amen.
But real adoration is what God deserves.
Yep.
And notice he's saying, come.
Amen.
Oh, come.
Yep.
Why won't you worship me?
Amen. Amen.
You know why we don't worship him? Amen. Because we're not at the celebration. We've left the celebration for something else.
That's right. Yeah.
It's convicting.
Amen.
You see, let me think about it. I can admire God's creation like we just sang about, but that's not the same as worshiping the Creator.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah.
Do you know the Romans chapter 1 talks about that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and they chose to worship the creation
yep.
over the creature over the Creator.
Yep.
There, you and I have a God in heaven who deserves real adoration. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. That's why we have an altar call after a church service, dear beloved. That's why we have an altar call. That's why we have an altar call. That's why we. That's why you should have a prayer altar. That's why you should have a prayer closet where you can worship God and you can really bow down and kneel before Him. Is God not worth at least that?
Amen. Preach it. Help us.
Well, if you don't celebrate, he's not. If you forget about all the other things, you forget about this for sure.
Yes,
but
right.
See, he brings us to this place on purpose.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
He brings us to this place in a very perfect order through these different things. And by the way, every one of these should be a reason to rejoice, to celebrate. Remember, it's an invitation to celebration. We're celebrating God. We're not celebrating self.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
We're not celebrating our goodness.
That's right.
I don't know what there'd be nothing to celebrate.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Real worship. Oh, Lord, it's humbling. And that's, by the way, this brings us to proper humiliation.
Yeah.
And God, look in verse 7 again. He is our God. We are the people of His pasture.
That's right.
Look, the sheep of His hand. You see, all of this is working together. You see, I'm telling you, this psalm just really, God really worked in my heart anyway. See, all I am is a sheep.
Yeah, that's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All I am is a sheep of His pasture.
Yeah.
Sheep of His hand.
That's right.
It is God that hath made us, not we ourselves.
Right.
We are His people and the sheep of His pasture.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I think we're missing a lot of this.
That's right.
Badly.
Amen.
In our country, in America especially.
Amen. Yes, amen.
That's right, brother.
Not too long ago, I heard about Christians in North Korea who can never do anything like this. They have to sneak around with little flashlights and gather up in closets and hide back in the woods and with barely just enough light to see their Bibles. And they're just all squatted down together in a circle, and they're reading their Bibles and they're praying. And you know what they're doing? They're worshiping God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Because of persecution.
Yeah.
You know what persecution does? Persecution brings you back to the place where you realize, I need God.
Yes, amen. Amen.
America has forgotten how much we need God.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Amen, preacher.
Because we've forgotten that. You see, real adoration is always going to include humiliation. We are His people. God made us, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
And this is also an invitation next to self-examination. Look in 7. He says, He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Notice, today, if you will hear His voice. Now, wait a minute. As a result of what we've already seen and heard in this psalm, I believe we've already done some self-examination, haven't we?
Amen.
I know I have, just in preparation and study, and again tonight. Some self-examination. I think that's what God's trying to do here. Listen, ask yourself this. Ask yourself this. Examine yourself. I'm not your judge. You just ask yourself, when's the last time you know that you heard His voice?
Yeah, well,
Now, don't say, well, I hear it every time you preach. No, listen. You know what I'm talking about. That still, small voice that's speaking to you.
Oh, help us.
That's speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And there's no mistaking it. It's God.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
There's no mistaking it's God. Mm-hmm. I remember vividly, like it was yesterday. It's not the last time it happened, but it was about, let's see here. I guess it was probably 15 or more years ago. No. Anyway, something like that. I remember God had called me to preach. I wasn't even starting Bible. I hadn't even started Bible college yet, and I was sitting in a church service there in Fort Worth, there at Lakeland, and Brother Ogden was still the pastor then, and he was just preaching on who knows what. I don't know. I promise you, it was the Bible, but I don't remember what he was preaching about. That's not God. God, I mean, it's not an audible voice, guys, okay?
That's right.
It's not an audible voice. It's the voice of God, that still small voice that speaks directly to you and your inner man, and you know this is God. And I just remember that very night, because I was battling about Bible college and making money, and I had a family, and oh, what am I going to do, and how can I? And I was thinking, well, I'll save the money and go next semester. You know, I'll put it off and put it off. And I remember like it was yesterday. I remember whatever he was preaching on, I was sitting there, probably about the fourth row back or so. And I remember it was like God just said, go to Bible college now. You say, well, I'm just telling you, that's what God chose to speak to me about right then and there, and it was God. I didn't hear anything. Amen. No lightning or earthquakes or anything, but God spoke to my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
And I did. And I had no idea how I was going to pay for it or anything else, but you know, here I am today, and I got through all the way through.
Yep.
Amen.
God provided. But I'm telling you that God wants to speak to you personally. He's very much involved in your life.
Yeah.
And when's the last time you know? I promise you, look, the things that we've talked about, celebrating salvation, exalting God, celebrating His exaltation, an invitation to illumination where we stop griping about our trials, that right there cuts off most every time. It just cuts it off.
Yep, that's right.
We just cut it off.
Yeah.
We start complaining and murmuring and backbiting and gossiping and everything. But God says, okay, well, when you get back to number one, I'll talk to you again.
Yeah.
And then we begin to see and admire Him for His greatness. And then we begin to real adoration. And then we humble ourselves. And then listen, that is when God loves to speak to you. Because all of those things, listen now, invite His presence.
Yep.
That's why I try to get you guys to sing during a song service.
Amen.
Because it invites His presence into the song, into the church service.
Amen.
You're literally asking God to come down and work in your heart and answer your prayers and minister to you.
Amen.
The praises of God's people invite His presence. And that's adoration, humiliation, and getting to a place. God says, I want you to examine yourself here.
Yeah.
Have you heard His voice today?
Yeah. Mom.
Because I don't think God wants a day to go by where we just forget about Him.
Right.
I don't think there's a day that God says, oh, not today. Nah, I got too busy for you. We do that.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think God does that. He says, today, I want you to examine yourself a little bit. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, do you want to hear His voice?
Amen.
How about tomorrow when you wake up and before you get into the rat race, will you stop and just celebrate Jesus a little bit?
Amen.
Before you get into the rat race, will you stop and just really worship and bow down and praise Him and humble yourself and exalt Him to where He belongs and let Him guide you through His illuminating spiritual guidance and His comfort, and then just let Him speak to you that one little word that comes from heaven, that's enough to get me through a whole day, dude. Listen, you can say what you want to would say, I don't care because God told me to do that. I'm in God's presence. I've heard from heaven and I know everything's okay.
Amen.
Am I lying?
No.
Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, come on, brother.
But see, you can't skip all of these other things.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you, really. You can't just jump in and say, God, speak to me, quick. Come on, I got to go. That's ridiculous.
Amen,
yeah,
brother.
That's right.
He's not a microwave.
Amen.
Brother Shazo, amen right there, amen.
It's not a microwave.
But listen, then finally, yeah, I know you're waiting for this one. It's an invitation to personal restoration. That's what all this is about. Personal restoration. Dare I say, just personal revival. Look in verse 8. Harden not your heart. As in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. See, if you've allowed your heart to get hard, you don't hear God's voice.
Right.
You're not going to spend time celebrating His salvation.
Right.
You're not going to spend time exalting Him. The people, notice now, the Bible says in verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, they hardened their heart in the day of provocation, the day of temptation. What does that mean, preacher? What that means is this, that the people were tempted in the day of temptation. They were tried. Their faith was tried. You remember God said, go into that land. I've given you the land. Go conquer it. Go take it. It's yours. Well, that was a test of their faith. But instead of trusting God, they provoked God. They provoked God. And he says, basically, what he's saying is, your fathers hardened their hearts when I told them to trust me.
Yeah, that's right.
Your father's hardened. Don't go too fast here. But you understand, God told them that there were going to be giants in the land.
Mm-hmm.
God told them that there were going to be cities, that walls that were insurmountable. God told them there was going to be battles that they could not escape. God told them there was going to be a lot of hardships in that land, but he said, but go take it. It's yours. I've given it to you. I'm going to prove to you that even though you can't do it, I can. But see, he was tempting and testing and trying their faith. And instead of saying, we worship you, O Lord, we trust you, O God. You know what they did? Is they hardened their heart.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Bible says they brought back that evil report.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they provoked God, who said, I swear in my wrath, they will not. And they never got into that land.
That's right. They never did.
Never got into that land.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, what happens, folks, is when we harden our heart in those valleys, in those deep places we talked about earlier, that's what happens is we begin to harden our heart.
Yep.
Instead of celebrating our God.
That's right.
I hate to say this, but I'm speaking to you from experience. Come on, let's just be honest here. When we get in those deep places, the first thing we do, the last thing we think about normally is let's celebrate.
Right.
We're broke. Let's celebrate.
Right.
I'm sick as a dog. I'm never going to be able to walk like I used to. Let's celebrate.
Amen.
Right. Come on.
My children are gone to the world. Let's celebrate.
Amen. Come on.
That's not what we think about.
Yeah, that's right.
What happens is we harden.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Our heart.
That's right. Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
And what this psalm is all about, and it was for me in my heart, and I'm trying to convey it to you by the grace of God, what this psalm is all about is, how are you going to respond to those deep places? How are you going to celebrate, or are you going to harden your heart? Are you going to respond? Most Christians respond with a hard heart. Let me say this lovingly, listen to me. If you come to church and you barely sing at church, I promise you, you're not a regular member of this celebration.
Yeah, that's right.
If you can't sing here, you're not singing anywhere.
Yeah, preach it.
That's right.
Amen, preacher.
I'm being transparent right now, and I'm just going to do what I can to help you. But look, we're all prone to harden our hearts.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
When those deep places come.
Yep.
And you know the first thing to go? Your song.
That's right.
Amen.
Your song. All of you know what's been going on in my family, our home, over the last year. My wife came to me one day, and she was brokenhearted, and she said, "You know what Samuel said to me?" She said, "Mom, how come you don't sing anymore?"
Amen, brother. Yeah.
The first thing to go is your song.
Yep.
You're not celebrating anymore. And I promise you, look, I promise you, you have got to be very, very careful.
Amen.
Because right then and there is where your heart's trying to get hard.
Right. Yep.
I'm speaking to you from real life experience.
Yeah,
I'm not. This is Bible, but it's also real life experience. Right there is where your heart's trying to get hard.
Yeah, amen.
You don't celebrate anything anymore.
Yep, that's right.
The last thing you even think about is celebrating.
Yep.
And what this psalm is all about, and maybe that's why it was so special to me, is God said, look, if you'll just come back to the celebration, there'll be some restoration.
Amen.
I'll restore you.
Amen.
Get back to me. Run back to me. Run back to the rock of salvation. Run back to the source of your strength. Exalt me once again to my rightful place. And you humble yourself and get back to worship. We don't worship God when we're feeling like that. Do we? We don't worship God. We do a lot of things to God and do a lot of things, but we don't necessarily worship Him.
Right.
See, what God is saying is all of these things are going to prevent us from getting to this hard heart.
That's right.
That's what this psalm is all about. It's an invitation to a celebration in order to try to restore His people and not let them die with a hard heart.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Are you listening to me tonight?
Amen.
Listen, every one of us is going through deep places.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm telling you tonight, God says, look, don't get hard.
Amen.
Come to the celebration. Because everything else is still true. In spite of your trials, in spite of your burdens.
Yeah.
Everything else is still true. And the invitation is still open.
Amen.
To the celebration of our King. You lost your song tonight?
No.
We are God's people, church. We have everything to celebrate.
Amen.
Not just Thanksgiving and Christmas, but every day.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen your people. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would get back to the celebration. God, that we would remember that who you are. Lord, I've said enough. I pray your Spirit would minister to the hearts of your people. Lord God, I pray that they would listen. Lord God, don't let us harden our hearts. Don't let us do it, Lord. You are the strength. You are it. Lord, please, God, work in our invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Tonight I want to let you know this is an invitation. This is not something that man came up with. God's been inviting people to Himself for many, many years. Let's all stand together tonight. The altars are open.